Hello, everyone. My name is Christine Vinatieri Erickson. Welcome to the Driveline Podcast, your official podcast for South Dakota auto dealers and South Dakota trucking associations. Today, I have Joe Sneevy with me. He is the co-founder of Dakota Scout, the newest newspaper that is statewide. It's not just a regional newspaper, but it is published and broadcasted online and in print throughout the state of South Dakota and beyond, I would say. So welcome. Thanks for being here.
Hey, nice to see you, Christine. Thanks for having me in. Yeah, we're actually, the Dakota Scout has online subscribers in like 48 countries.
Wow.
Or something like that.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's cool. Amazing. Well, I love...
I'm going to open this.
You open this Coca-Cola.
Yep.
Usually when I'm on your podcast, we might be having a cold beverage. It's a little early for that on a Monday afternoon. So, yeah, here we are. So I find this really fun that I get to interview you for probably the last 8-ish years while I've been in politics. You've been the one calling me. I've dodged your calls a few times here and there. But
you're usually pretty good about answering them.
I am.
If it's just, hey, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything today. But no, I love that this time I get to interview you a little and we get to talk about really your passion for... getting the word out about all the things Sioux Falls and truly South Dakota, because you guys have a heavy presence in Pierre also.
Yeah.
You have boots on the ground the entire session. But before we get into the details of the Dakota Scout, let's just talk a little bit about why you did this. I mean, you have a background in writing and publication and all of that. I mean, you really went out on a limb.
Yeah.
And took a risk.
My partner and I, Jonathan Ellis, we both worked at the big legacy paper in Sioux Falls for a combined, I think he had 16, 17 years there and I had 12.
Wow.
And then we, you know, the industry itself, newspapers, you know, the big legacy papers are sort of going the wrong way. When I started there was like 60 people in the building. And when we decided to leave... they had just closed down the printing press and moved the printing operations for the paper out of state, and then they trucked the papers in.
Wow.
And that was a really sad thing to watch happen. And I know we are moving to a digital age and all that, but I grew up reading the paper.
Right.
And, like, swimming in Argus leaders at my grandpa's house. Who, who didn't throw any papers away for months until, like, my mom came over and, like,
then you had a bonfire out back.
Yeah, exactly. And I delivered the Argus when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. So I had a passion for actual, like, print paper, newspapers. And when Jonathan and I had to watch the printing press go, you know, we were – sorry, my phone's buzzing here. We were – you know, we knew the end was probably coming. If we didn't leave on our own accord, we were probably going to get walking papers at some point.
Right.
Because we were the most veteran reporters there, probably the highest paid reporters there. And when more cuts are coming, you kind of –
anticipate that you're next on the chopping block.
Yeah, because you cut one guy instead of two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So we saw the Dakota Scout as like our own life raft. Like, we built our own life raft. We didn't want to go to PR. We didn't want to go work for the state. Got offered a job, actually, in Pierre at one point and turned it down because we knew we were going to do this. And it was crazy. You know, we print a paper, an actual newspaper, once a week, and we published stories online every day. People thought we were crazy. A lot of them still do. But September 1 will be 2 years.
Wow.
And, you know, it's been exhausting but rewarding. And the community's embraced it, though. And people really want local journalism.
Right.
They want – and Jonathan's – our strengths are that we have not lost touch with our community. We're from here. Well, Jonathan's a transplant from Colorado, but he's been here long enough. And,
right.
He's got kids that are now in college. So he's fully South Dakotan. We'll claim him.
Right. We'll claim him.
you know, we're not just – this is for journalists now coming out of college, Sioux Falls, small markets are like a stepping stone.
Yeah, we see it in TV all the time, too. It's like, oh, great, another new person until they can make it to the next large market.
Right.
And so having those South Dakota roots, I think, is really important. And, I mean, who's to say you won't have interns that pop in and out in there?
There's also institutional knowledge that, you know, you don't have when you have these sort of passersby.
Yeah.
You know, there'll be news that'll happen that Jonathan and I know is relevant or interesting because of something that happened 15 years ago.
Right.
You know, and we were here and we understand that. Whereas if you don't have that in your organization, there's nobody there to raise that interesting point. Mm-hmm. The work from home, the pandemic sort of motivated us to do this too.
Right.
Because it all became work from home, and I don't think you get good quality journalism if you're not working side by side other journalists that can kind of poke holes in your assumed narratives.
So
it's been really good. DakotaScout.com or TheDakotaScout.com.
Yeah, you better get it right.
Yeah, I know, because that the, somebody had bought DakotaScout.com, but without the, and they wanted like $30,000 for it.
Oh, wow. So now like, you're just
The Dakota Scout.
Right.
So.
Well, I think it's like, that's the entrepreneur spirit. That's the risk taker. That's the thing that I think, like, I love being a part of South Dakota. I know it exists in other states too, but just taking a chance. I mean, print has changed, like we said, so much, and really embracing technology, being online, all of that is still so important. Yeah. But, you know, you still kind of have the old school liking the newspaper. I love paper also, but we have to evolve.
Yeah.
Or you're not going to exist.
And we know the digital is our sort of long-term bread and butter. Like, we charge for full access digitally. It's $5 a month. 95% of what we produce, Jonathan, myself, and Austin Goss, doesn't end up in the printed paper. Mm. The printed paper is free. It's sort of like one big advertisement for our website.
Right.
That's kind of how we see it.
Yeah. To get you to go.
Yeah,
and
like,
sign
hey,
up.
I like this.
I want more of this.
I want more of this. And I know some people just want the print, and that's fine. But a lot of people are, you know, navigate to our website after they see the print, and that's been working. And, you know, printing a paper is expensive. It's the most expensive thing we do.
Yeah.
But the ads have sustained that, which is why I say the community has embraced this.
Right. But you're not mailing it out, right? No, it's in your local gas stations and grocery stores. Yep. I mean, because postage is, that's a lot too.
Direct delivery, either if it was, we don't do direct home delivery. We do some direct business delivery, like waiting rooms and stuff like that. But where we're at is mostly like high traffic public areas, like, you know, all the Hy-Vees or most every grocery store in town, hundreds of gas stations in the area. Whereas in we have printed copies in Pier and Aberdeen. And just this week we're adding like 4 new towns.
Nice.
So things are growing. But if you were to do direct delivery, those costs just skyrocket.
It eats into the profit
and people don't want to pay
to
pick up a paper.
Yeah,
you know,
you really
some
don't.
People will, but we move a lot of papers, and I think part of that is because people don't have to pay for it.
Right, it's free, and you grab one. I mean, I know I'll grab a couple different publications that are there and flip through them, and it's nice to have that free option with that. Well, one of the things that I want to talk about too is, you know, we talk about innovation and we talk about just risk. Just recently, you, the Dakota Scout, was named the official newspaper of record for Sioux Falls.
Yeah,
like that's crazy, like goosebumps, like to be able to take a large vision of a small newspaper right now, and then now have that much respect and knowledge, and people see it being, this is where we're getting our news, to now be named the official newspaper of record for Sioux Falls is huge.
Yeah, it's not lost on us sort of the historical milestone that is, because you know, and a lot of people don't know, like, what is a newspaper of record? Like,
right. What does that mean?
Is that?
Yeah. Educate our listeners.
Governments, local governments, pretty much every government entity in South Dakota except for the state. So I'm not going to get into the
–
it probably ought to be. But they have to publish public notices if they're going to open up a bid. They have to do a bid notice. Those have to publish twice in a printed newspaper. If you're going to, when you have a city council meeting or a township board meeting or a county commission meeting, the minutes have to publish in a printed paper. And most communities, there's only one choice.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, yep. There is. There's one.
There's
main
one. There's one choice.
Whether you're in Lenox or in Murdo or wherever, it's one regional newspaper.
Yeah, and in Sioux Falls, it's always been the Argus Leader.
Yep.
Since the late 1800s, the city has chosen the Argus in some variation because it wasn't always the Argus Leader. It was like the Daily Leader and the Brandon Argus or something.
Okay.
Or I might have that backwards, but they merged or something. But the Argus has always done this service for governments in the area for a century. And when we started the Scout, it wasn't in our revenue modeling to get, because there's some revenues. Like the governments have to pay for the space.
Yep.
And then there's a bit of a margin there. It's not a huge moneymaker, or it's not going to be for us. But we, you know, we started this, and the city clerk at the time said, hey, do you, once you're, to qualify, you have to be a paper for 1 year.
Yep.
And then he said, do you want to be the legal paper? And we said, well, we hadn't really thought about that. Then we found out actually we weren't going to qualify to be a paper even mm-hmm. after 1 year because we gave our paper away for free.
Right.
In the law, it said that you have to sell your paper, whether it's a nickel, a dollar, whatever. You have to put a posted price on it. And that's not our model. So we thought, well, shucks,
you're out. You don't qualify.
We're just mm-hmm. not going to be a paper of record.
Yep.
And then I was in Pierre, you know, session of 23, and I was having beers with a couple legislators and, you know, just kind of got ambitious. Like, why
can't we do this?
It doesn't make sense to me because if the information's public and the idea is public notice, mm-hmm. a price is a barrier to
it
that
is.
Information. So I got kind of pissed off about it. Like, why does that even exist?
Yep.
You know, let's do something about this. So it's kind of naive, but we drafted a bill like on our own and ran it through a committee. It died only 4-3, so it wasn't that
bad.
But then we hired a lobbyist to help us because the newspaper industry itself opposed this, what we were doing.
Right.
And so we hired a lobbyist and we ran another bill. It was much more complicated because our bill was going to take out one word of the existing law.
Of saying printed or
paid.
To just remove that. Yep.
But apparently that's like a one card in a house of cards if you pull that word out. It
crumbles.
Causes a bunch of problems. So they had to write some 9-page bill. And
goodness.
We ran it through a different committee where we thought we would have more success, but it also failed 4-3. And so we spent the year working with the Newspaper Association, came back this year with agreement on a bill. We had to make a couple concessions as far as like submitting to a circulation audit and stuff like that, which was easy. But got all the way through session, not a single no vote.
Wow.
The governor signed it, and then July 1, that takes effect. It just so happens that the city has to pick a new paper that will start July 1. So the law takes effect on the same day that they need a new paper.
Yeah.
So that works out. And then 2 weeks ago, the city council voted to make us the paper of record.
What was the vote on that?
8-0 vote.
Wow.
So that was... That was, you know, no votes in the legislature.
Yeah, it's validation.
We did have one no vote in a council committee before the actual meeting, but that no vote turned to a yes vote for the final vote, so we'll just leave it at that.
Yep.
Appreciate all their support. and so as of July 1, we'll be the official paper record. We feel... Well, it's not just good for us. I mean, we are going to make some... It does mean revenue for us, but it also... It was a pretty easy decision for the council, I think, because we're local. You know, while our competitors do have a few reporters in town, it's a Virginia-based company with shareholders that, you know, they're all at, like, BlackRock, stuff like that.
Yep.
Charles Schwab, just big corporate shareholders, which is fine, but we're local. And we're locally owned, and... not to bore your viewers here, but the way the rates are set is very complicated, but we're actually going to be a lot cheaper than the Argus, too.
Yep.
So the taxpayer is going to win here, too.
Right. So. And truly, that's what it's about. It's about access to information. and, you know, saving some taxpayer dollars. Yeah. I know I'm a subscriber have been from the beginning, a paid subscriber from the beginning, just because I appreciate the local information and also the boots on the ground in Pierre. For me, being a lobbyist in Pierre and seeing what you guys are focusing on is really good for me too. But just that validation of like, hey, somebody believes in you. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's got to feel good, right? It's got to be validating to be like, hey, we're doing a good job, that they recognize this, we're reputable, and we're going to get access to information out there to folks earlier.
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal. We feel pretty honored by it. We're not surprised, you know, because we believe in ourselves.
Right, you did the work.
There's a lot of naysayers at the beginning. There were some people taking predictions on how many issues we'd get through before we just, Jonathan and I quit getting along, or, you know, wouldn't make money. Because, you know, we've got families to feed and stuff too. But we believe in ourselves and we know what we're capable of. And it's nice to see that other people see that, you know, and we've proven ourselves. But now that we are the official paper of Sioux Falls, and the City of Baltic just picked us too.
Oh, wow.
I think that'll be,
It's
good. A small town.
So it is, but still, I mean,
it's still cool, but
yeah,
I think now the real work starts though in that regard.
Well, and because it comes with a heavy responsibility. Yeah. I mean, you can't just.
Well, city business won't proceed without public notices because city finance needs to open up a bid for a bridge project. They need to publish a bid notice twice before they can, and then wait 10 days before they can open up bids. Well, if those notices don't publish,
they can't open them.
They have to wait until they do publish, and so there's a lot
progress
riding
on
that.
Yeah,
we know we can do it. We've been doing. I mean, it doesn't start till July 1, but we're already doing it exhibition.
Right. Yep.
Just to work out any bugs that might pop up.
Right.
Unforeseen headaches.
I know I got my first email, and I was like, "This is really great," because you know I was a subscriber of the other newspaper before, and it's like finding a needle in a haystack to try to find those publications. They print it as tiny as they can. It's buried. You wonder how many people really click on it. And to have it just pop up in my email, I'm like, wow, this is really interesting to me to see. And I think that others that are subscribers that also get it will pay attention to that and know, oh, well, this is happening near my business, or this is happening. And, you know, we've got a lot of car dealers here in Sioux Falls, and we've got a lot of power sports and RV and trucking companies that I think this will be good for them to know, hey, what's going to go across the street or what's going to happen. And so more knowledge and more openness, I think, is always good for folks.
There's always, Sioux Falls has a great media market as far as journalism goes. There's a lot of startups. There's legacy media. The television stations do a good job of providing news. But not everything can be covered.
Right.
You know, maybe nor should it, I guess. But if the information is there, I mean, people often say, I didn't know that was going to happen, or this took me by surprise. If there's more easy access, accessible information out there, there's hopefully less of that, or there's more opportunity for people to sort of be aware of what's happening in their community. And that's like the whole idea behind it.
Right. So. I like it. Well, I congratulate you all for what you do for Sioux Falls and educating folks. And I hope that, others see what's happening in other parts of the state and try to emulate the same thing. I think, like I said, more information is good information. It just is.
Well, anybody that's listening or watching this, we cover statewide. Our printed papers are pretty focused on distributing here in Sioux Falls and the surrounding area. But our website we'll cover any interesting story that happens in the state. We'll travel. So send news tips.
Yeah, send news tips all the time.
Joe@thedakotascout.com.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. Well, and let's pivot to Pierre a little bit, because like I said, you know, you guys are really covering everything going on in Pierre. And you break news in Pierre a lot of times too. Things that are going on, whether it's the inner workings of government or the inner workings of one legislator does this or that, or even the big picture ideas. Yep. So why does the Dakota Scout feel it's important to have somebody there at all times?
Well, you can't cover, I mean, you should always go to the meetings, right? Mm-hmm. Just show up, because you can listen online. You can watch council meetings from your house on video, but you can't, when you do that, you're going to miss things. You don't feel what's happening in the room, or, you know, you're kind of taking other people's word for what happened. It's just better. We think the Fourth Estate is what, I mean, that's why journalism exists.
Right.
You know, you can, it's great to have features and sports coverage and stuff like that, but the real function, the necessity of journalism mm-hmm. is to hold government accountable.
Right.
Because you can't be everywhere. My mm-hmm. parents can't be up there, but they certainly, everything that's happening in Pierre affects their life.
Oh,
you know,
for sure.
It affects mm-hmm. your pocketbook.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I feel like we're sort of like cops.
Yeah.
You know, like for politicians.
Sometimes the bad cocks, like, cops. Not always the good cops, but depending on what side of the story you are on. Look, I know that.
Well, we're the hall monitors.
That's
maybe,
right. Yeah, right? That's, there you go. So, the hall monitors.
But it's, I mean, we see there's nobility in it. I know, it seems, you're going to romanticize journalism or whatever, mm-hmm. but there's, like, we take that's a big responsibility. Like, if the free world won't function without somebody up there we have a free press in this mm-hmm. country, but it's got to be fair, too. Otherwise, what's the point?
Right. Because
then nobody's going to believe what the free press is doing if it's not fair. And people are busy.
Yeah.
They can't get up there themselves.
No. But like you said, it is important to get there if you've got a burning issue or even, I know, look, lobbyists get a bad rap a lot of times, but the point of that is to be stronger together. It's a group of people with like-minded industry. You know, I lobby for the auto industry and the trucking industry. My guys and gals can't get there every single day and represent, quote, themselves. So they hire someone like myself or the Newspaper Association or the Chambers mm-hmm. to focus on that. And,
it's all a part of it.
It really is. And it's so frustrating when people give lobbyists such a bad name, because I'm there to provide information. That's it. I mean, I am there to provide that information, let you know how something impacts the decisions that they are making either way. And let's be honest, I was a legislator. I didn't know. I mean, I grew up in Sioux Falls. My family has my grandparents and my uncle have farms. So I know a little bit about ag, but I don't know the ins and outs of everything in the ag world, that I relied on those folks to help me understand some of those issues. And that's the point of it.
Yeah.
And I think,
you don't want legislators that are naive to a subject writing bills without any input from people
absolutely.
Who know what's going on in that part of the
conversation.
So
it's part of the process.
Yeah. The word lobby, I guess, can have a negative connotation to mm-hmm. it, but it means what it means.
Right.
I mean, if you pick up a phone call and ask your sister to, be nicer to your other sister,
right.
you're lobbying.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
that's
it is.
So
it is, you get a review for your work and you feel like you deserve more. Well, you're lobbying for yourself. So I get it. And I certainly appreciate you guys having boots on the ground and being there. You know, you have a team of three now.
Yeah,
are you looking at expanding?
Journalists, we have three full-time journalists, including Jonathan. So I guess I would say 2.5, because I do a lot of administrative stuff that keeps me from doing journalism half the time. But we have Austin's in Pierre year-round. So like today there's a meeting about property tax summer study.
Yep, so he'll be there.
So he's been there all morning, right? And he's going to earn
his he live in Pierre then?
Yeah, he lives actually Fort Pierre.
Okay,
And his wife works for the state, and he's ingrained in the community.
You know?
Like he moved here, worked in TV, and then now he's in the JCs and the Knights of Columbus, and he's a volunteer firefighter and all this. Like, dude, quit signing up for stuff. Like,
you got to work. We need you to work, buddy. Yeah. Come on, Austin.
But he's definitely ingrained in the community. We have 15 total staffers, including Jonathan, Austin, and I.
Yeah.
That includes drivers, because we do have some drivers that deliver to the retail places, and then designer, ad, cartoonist, our lounge section. We have a curator for that.
Yeah.
A history columnist.
Nice.
Yeah. It's and now that we're the official paper record, there's some workload that comes with that. So we're trying to delegate some of that out, and we're growing.
Wow, so that's awesome.
It's good.
So your father was featured in one of our trucking news, and I thought that was kind of interesting. Yeah. So you have a trucking background within your family, some.
I have some connection to your world.
Yeah.
So a little bit. My dad, Mark Sneevy, was sort of the trucking trailer service industry side. So if you've ever taken your truck or trailer to like get a, you know, if you get a need new brakes or you know, you need new doors on the back of your trailer, and you took it up to Cliff and Benson. You know, he worked at Jim Hawk truck trailers for a long time, and then he went over to Crossroads.
And he's now
running that place for a while. Just retired about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Alvin Skolton still holding things down over there. Yeah. So, I spent a lot of time in the bays as a kid. You know, shagging trailers for my dad and stuff like that. So
nice.
It was, you know, I've known from an early age how important the trucking industry is. You know, if trucks stop moving, nothing moves.
Yeah, so. For sure. Yeah, nothing without trucking. That's our kind of slogan that we've been using a lot lately. And I mean, even you know that it might not be on a big semi, but you can't get your papers to the locations without transportation and all of that. So
it's those guys and gals deserve a lot of kudos. They don't get a lot of credit, or enough credit, I should say.
Mm-hmm. It's sad that COVID kind of made us realize how important the transportation system really truly is, and as well as the impact it had on the auto industry from parts and chips and all of the things that they couldn't get. I mean, it really slowed some business down too.
The whole ecosystem of the economy sort of got all wonky there for a minute.
But yeah, it does.
It so thanks to the truckers, I'll say that. So I know my dad, he's enjoying retirement, but I think he misses working.
Yeah.
So
maybe he'll be back.
I don't
part
have to.
Time.
I don't have to mow my lawn every time I come home. It's like
it's already mowed.
He did it for me. He's bored.
That's awesome. But, well, if he's ever bored, I'll let him know my address. Yeah. He's welcome to mow my grass anytime.
Yeah.
So, what do you see coming up for session? What do you anticipate? There's been, you know, we won't get into political weeds and races and stuff like that, but there's some change.
There's a lot of known unknowns, or I don't know how you would say that. We know that we don't know what's coming, mostly because there was a lot of change. A lot of incumbents did not make it out of their primaries. We were already going to see a lot of shifting between the House and Senate anyway. We have some, I mean, it's still, you know, we're a red state. It's still going to be GOP controlled, but there's wings of that party that don't always see eye to eye or work well together. Now we're going to have a lot of, it's kind of been separated though between the House and Senate lately. Yeah. Like they've been two different organisms or personalities or however you want to say that. Now I think both chambers are going to be more kind of blended with those two types of Republicans. And I know there's more than two types of Republicans. So it's going to be interesting to see how people get along, what ideas advance out of committees, the committee makeups, the leadership votes are going to be interesting.
The leadership votes will be very interesting to see what comes out of that.
I think we could see like a reset to 2 years ago when it comes to leadership. And then, you know, I just think as far as what policies are coming, I think, you know, pipeline stuff's going to come back, and property tax is going to be a big conversation. You know, what happens in November with the ballot initiatives is going to drive a lot of what happens come
next session,
January. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of like the council. You know, we just have four new city councilors on Sioux Falls. Miss you there too. By the way,
thank you. I miss it. I do.
So you're the first few weeks anyway, you're kind of just watching to see. Mm-hmm. You can make predictions on how people are going to be.
Right.
If they're going to be sort of a rubber stamp for the mayor or, you know, which coalition they're going to be in. We don't, since there's, you just don't know.
Yeah.
You have to watch and you got to give everybody the, everybody sort of starts with the clean slate.
Yeah.
You know, the benefit of the doubt. You don't want to make predictions and because people will surprise you every time.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And, you know, we always have in South Dakota, we always have the social issues that come up. And we have, you know, kind of the reoccurring theme of many of the same topics. But I'm excited for me personally, kind of the modernization of some of our state government entities that have kind of sat stagnant for quite some time, that we're seeing some big changes on our end within Motor Vehicle Division and modernizing that system. You know, just last week, the system broke 3 times for my auto dealers, and it's hard to sell cars when you can't get in the system. So
that's not good.
That modernization and that forward thinking
is great. Tell us when that happened. I read about it.
Well, I don't know that I want to talk about that.
That's not good for me. I'm waiting on a new a license plate for my motorcycle.
Well, there you go.
It's going to take a while. It's a personalized plate, and I didn't get it last year, and they were issuing new plates.
Yeah.
So
now you're waiting.
I'm waiting. Glad it's raining out.
Yeah. Oh, well, can't ride it anyways. Yeah. Not safe. Wear your helmet.
Yeah.
That's my PSA. Wear your helmet. Right.
Okay.
Well, anyways, well, I am excited to see y'all in Pyrgan and have, you know, those boots on the ground, like I've said. I think that it's really important to share the stories and the news that's going on. So if people can't be there, you are there for them. So
we try to, since Austin's there year-round during session, Jonathan or I usually go up. So we usually have 2 reporters up there at a time during session. So,
it's a busy time.
TheDakotaScout.com. It's, some people say they get too many emails from us during session. You know, because we're writing.
There's a lot going on. There's
7 or 8 stories a day.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. At least. So, I know there's times where I'm like, hey, Joe, you want to write about this? And you're like, well.
Maybe. It depends.
Maybe. Just
give me a really juicy quote.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. That's really what it's a juicy headline and a juicy quote. Then I might. Stay out of controversy in my industry.
Smooth waters. I understand. I understand.
It's I like to stay out of the spotlight and out of trouble when it comes to my issues. So
are there any new laws on the books July 1 for you guys that you're watching?
Not necessarily. We are really, for our industries, we are really watching, like I said, the modernization, moving to e-title. Our system, like I said, it broke 3 times last week.
They ran out of paper.
Didn't run out of paper. They withheld, so they didn't run out of it, but they were only issuing titles last year on a very needed
must have.
So if you just need a duplicate, you're going to wait because you don't need it necessarily. But you know, the way the laws work right now is you can't have a car on the lot to actively be selling it without the title in hand. Well, you know, you could have close to a few hundred. I mean, the way car prices are today, you can have several hundreds of thousands of dollars sitting there on your lot, whether it's RVs or power sports or any of those, without being able to market them. And so the department actually did a really good job. They said, you know, email us directly, all of those. We don't want you sitting on inventory and to get them out. But, you know, it wasn't the state's fault, but the fact that we were so close to running out of secure paper is a big darn problem. And so I'm excited for running for e-title, getting the system up and going for e-title. It's going to be a little while, but
maybe have the newspapers print the titles
for you. we'll see about that.
For a fee.
You're always looking for revenue, right? That's what we're looking at. We're looking at a few other bills to bring. Nothing juicy on your end, but just ways to strengthen the franchise model and dealerships. You know, the mandate's coming down on EVs. I know you've written a little bit about the EVs and stuff, and you know, we're just not an early adopter in South Dakota. It's just hard. I mean, they're a fun second car, but they're not generally someone's primary car here in South Dakota. So, we're looking at bringing a few things, but I don't anticipate there'll be juicy things for you to write about for us.
Well, if you want to write a column or something.
Yeah, I'd love that.
So, that's we're always looking for viewpoint columns that aren't about pipelines and aren't about the same stuff.
Same social issues and things like that, which are all important, but just...
We had one about grasslands this weekend that I thought was really interesting.
Yeah.
It's just refreshing to have something different to think about.
I think that's great. I think I'll have to do that.
Yeah.
We'll write about, too. Well, what we like to do, too, is celebrate our, you know, we just had our truck driving championships. And so one of these times we'll get you there as a spectator and come watch what we do. You know, the first time I thought, you know, the truck driving championships, they're going to be doing tricks and on two wheels. Yeah. And this, it's very slow. It's very detailed. Yeah. It's very stopping at the appropriate times and backing in.
It's like that Brady Bunch episode where Greg and Marcia have a driving contest.
There you go. Not quite. That's awesome. Well, thank you, Joe, for joining us. Yeah. I appreciate it. We'll have you back again, maybe even in a few months after more changes.
This is fun. Occur. It's good to see you.
Yeah, I just like being on the other side this time. I should have asked you some like really detailed,
Yeah, I don't like being on this side.
Gotcha questions.
No comment. Not touching that one.
Right? I know. Now you know how it feels, right?
Well, your politicians are always like, that's a really great question. And that's usually when they're thinking of an answer.
Yeah, you
know?
Exactly.
Like, I've been around long enough to know a few of the tricks I could probably pull out if I had
they
to.
Need, that means they need another 10 seconds to formulate what they want to say before they give you their spiel.
It's smart. Instead of just going, for 10 seconds, you know.
Or answering a... Not answering your question and talking about what you want to talk about.
Staying right on that talking point. We have some people in Pierre really good at that.
Yeah. Well, so. It keeps you out of trouble sometimes. Yeah. That's for sure. Well, good. Well, we hope you've enjoyed our podcast here today. This is Joe Sneevy with the Dakota Scout. Be sure to follow along. Check out all of those, their official newspaper of record for Sioux Falls, and get that extra information as well as free publications in your local grocer and or some gas stations. Thank you again, Joe, for being here. And with that, we say goodbye.